from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and My Language. And then, to end today's edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then, listener, happy listening!
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo expects Quran recitation from MTQ, praises the values of humanity. Vice President Yusuf Kala received his Iranian counterpart. Now, the news in details. President Joko Widodo officially opened the second International Musabakoh Tilawatil Quran, the 8th National Quran Musabakoh Tilawatil Quran among boarding schools, and the 5th Congress Jamiatul Qura while Hufaz Nahdlatul Ulama at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. In his speech, President Joko Widodo expressed his hope that the Quran recitation of the MTQ in both international and national level can spread the values of humanity not only to Indonesia but also to other countries all over the world. The humanitarian values are in accordance with the empowerment program currently being run by the Indonesian government. In this regard, President Joko Widodo exemplifies the existence of Micro Wakaf Bank, vocational education based on boarding school, assets redistribution program, and agrarian reform.
I hope the beauty of Quran recitation from MTQ will be heard across Indonesia and around the world. It echoes the value of humanity, the values of social pity, the values that give priority to the defense of the weak, the poor, the values that the government is currently working on in the economic empowerment programs of the people.
Pemerintah dalam program-program pemberdayaan ekonomi umat.
The second international MTQ and the 8th national MTQ among boarding schools is held from July 11 to 15 at Ashidikiyah Boarding School, Karawang, West Java. This international and national MTQ is participated in by hundreds of participants from boarding schools all over Indonesia. The MTQ is also participated in by participants from 6 Asian countries and Pakistan. In the occasion, President Joko Widodo also received a giant embroidered Quranic manuscript from Malaysian businessman Lee Kim Yu. Vice President Yusuf Kala received his Iranian counterpart, Vice President Masumeh Ebtekar, at the Vice President's office in Jakarta on Wednesday. In general, both of them discussed the strengthening of bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Iran, especially with regard to Iran's request to Indonesia for support over the development of Iran's nuclear agreement or Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. During the meeting, Vice President Ebtekar disclosed a long history of cooperation between Indonesia and Iran in various ways and expressed hope that Indonesia would remain in a position to support Iran's nuclear deal. In addition, Vice President Ebtekar's visit to Indonesia was also aimed to improve bilateral ties between Iran and Indonesia in the fields of women's empowerment, trade, economy, and oil and gas. Minister of Defense Riamizat Triyankudu said that the threat that must be faced by various countries in the world, including Indonesia, has developed. At present, the threat is no longer a real open war among countries. The threat is now threatening the sovereignty and integrity of the nation. In his speech at the opening of the seminar, Indonesia International Defense Science, IIDS 2018, in Jakarta on Wednesday, Minister Riamizat Triyankudu stated that Indonesia is ready to fighting against the threat.
Dalam perspektif Indonesia ke depan, ancaman tidak lagi bersifat.
In the perspective of Indonesia in the future, the threat is no longer an open war among nations, or I call the threat that has not been real. This unreal threat can become real if Indonesia's sovereignty is disturbed, integrity is disturbed, and the safety of the nation is disturbed. We are at war. We war only to defend.
Furthermore, Minister Yamizat stated that one of form of the unreal threat is a misguided mindset. This mindset ultimately encourages ordinary people to commit acts of terror that often do not make sense. Therefore, to counter such action is increasingly widespread. Indonesia and several other Asian countries are cooperating with the initiative called Our Eyes. The aim of cooperation is to strengthen the regional system and early detection. This cooperation is conducted in the form of strategic information exchange. This collaboration platform was inaugurated in Bali last January. Our Eyes is a joint operation of six countries, namely Indonesia, Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam, Thailand, Singapore, and the Philippines.
Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Wiranto said that the Association of Southeast Asian Nation, ASEAN, is a regional organization that has a major role for countries in Southeast Asia, including Indonesia. He pointed out that Indonesia is the largest country in Southeast Asia and one of the parties that initiated the establishment of ASEAN, will continue to develop various forms of cooperation that promote the centrality of ASEAN to face the challenges and threats that are increasingly complex today. This was affirmed by Minister Wiranto in his speech at the opening of Indonesian seminar International Defence Science 2018 in Jakarta on Wednesday.
In a framework that promotes the centrality of ASEAN that we have built, we must continue to develop, to institutionalize the various forms and matters of such cooperation. Another sub-regional cooperation that should be appropriate with the real and urgent needs, such as Our Eyes, Indomafil, Trilateral Joint Patrol, is also the initiative that we need to jointly support and develop. On this occasion, I would like to invite all of us to strengthen our commitment and spirit. We mutually protect and support each other through effective, productive, and beneficial cooperation of all parties.
Furthermore, Minister Wiranto further remarked that one of the most complex threats for Southeast Asia, especially Asian member countries, is the issue of Rohingya refugees who suffered violence in Rakhine State of Myanmar. He views that if the problem is not solved completely, it can be a source of problems such as trafficking in persons and narcotics and drugs, hazardous substances drugs. To deal with the complexity of these threats, Minister Wiranto considers that togetherness to find solution is very important. The real form that can be done is through sharing information, knowledge, technology, and training.
The General Election Commission, KPU, has sought the government's support to improve its information technology ahead of the general election in 2019. Commission Chief of KPU, Arif Budiman, and some KPU commissioners, Ilham Saputra, Evinovida Ginting Manik, Pramono Ubaid Tantowi, Hashim Ashari, and Firdan held a meeting with President Joko Widodo. Arif Budiman stated on Wednesday that his side has faced bigger, varied, and more complicated challenges, one of which needs support from government institutions with expertise in the sector. In response to the demand, Budiman remarked that President Joko Widodo had expressed his commitment to lending support in the areas of human resources and budget, as well as cooperation with some institution. The Association of Indonesian Smallholder Sugar Cane Farmers has urged the government to promptly buy sugar from local farmers at 9,700 rupiah to 10,500 rupiah per kilogram, as they are holding 700,000 tons in stocks. The association's chief patron, Arum Sabil, pointed out on Wednesday that the market could not absorb the local sugar due to the import of raw sugar to produce white crystal sugar to meet the demand in both traditional and modern retail markets. Smallholder sugarcane farmers met Trade Minister Enggartia Stolokita to urge the National Logistic Agency, Bulog,
to buy the farmer's sugar at the agreed price of 9,700 to 10,500 rupiah per kilogram. At the meeting, the association also called on Minister Enggartia Stolokita to write to the State Enterprises Minister to respond to their demand. Bulog is expected to buy the farmer's sugar at the agreed price. It is expected that the Trade Minister Enggartia Stolokita would soon issue a decision and the farmer's sugar would be absorbed without causing further losses. The Bogor Declaration, which was produced at the Trilateral Ulema Muslim Clerics Conference initiated by President Joko Widodo in May 2018 in Bogor, West Java, has received appreciation from the participants of the International Ulema Conference on Peace and Security in Afghanistan, which was opened in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia on Tuesday, July 19. A statement received by a Taranus agency in Jakarta on Wednesday mentioned that the Indonesian ambassador to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and permanent representative of Indonesia to Organization of Islamic Cooperation OIC, Agus Maftu Abi Gabriel, who attended the international conference, asserted that the Bogor Declaration involved Muslim clerics from three countries, namely Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Indonesia. The ambassador also explained that the conference on Afghan, which was firstly organized by the OIC, was attended by about 130 Muslim scholars from various countries. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is, Where is the huge budget for education? The 2018 national education budget has reached 444 trillion rupiah. However, the world of national education has not shown satisfying quality. Indonesian education is still questionable regarding the teachers' quality and curriculum. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati criticized the development of domestic education. She said that every year the education budget is increased. The law mandates that annual education budget is allocated at 20% of state budget. The amount is always rising because the income and expenditure of the state also continue to increase. The amount of budget allocation did not result in satisfactory quality of education. Where is the huge budget? If we look at Indonesian education budget of 3.09% of gross domestic product GDP, this fund is enough to develop education. But why does the quality of education not significantly improve in Indonesia? Of the 20% of budget allocation for education, it is mostly used to pay the teachers' salaries or allowance and certification as well as for the development of educational infrastructure. These 3 points were criticized by many parties, including the World Bank, for allegedly neglecting aspect of students' competence. The World Bank criticized the allocation budget of Indonesian education, which is more significantly oriented for the teachers instead of the students. Director of the World Bank, Rodrigo Chavez, said that if Indonesia maintains this condition, it will take time for Indonesia to achieve its students' competence levels based on the standard of Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD. Then does the Indonesian government policy wrongly allocate most of the education budget for teacher salary, allowance, and certification? The provision of salary and allowance as well as certification of the teachers in education budget is appropriate for the present conditions. This should be done because one of the fundamental problems in the field of education in Indonesia today is the low welfare of teachers in many regions across Indonesia. With regard to the welfare issue, teachers do not focus on teaching students. With the welfare considerations, intelligent and broad-minded students in general are not interested in becoming teachers. In fact, teachers are the key to the success of education for the next generation. So there is no problem if the huge budget for education is used for salary, allowance, and certification of teachers. What to be improved is that the process of granting allowance and certification needs to be properly implemented to monitor teachers' quality, because the quality of teachers is very influential in the quality of education. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia. Well listener, we start Pranipan on July 12, 1947 about National Cooperative Day. Cooperative is an economic organization which is suitable in Indonesia because of nature of society and kinship. It was introduced by Arya Wiryatmaja in Purwokerto, Central Java in 1896. Arya established credit cooperative aiming at helping people who were in debt trouble with money lenders. The cooperative developed fast and finally, it was copied by Budi Utomo and the Islamic Trade Union. In 1942, Japan occupied Indonesia. Japan established Kumiyai Cooperative. Early, the cooperative ran smoothly, but its function changed drastically and became Japanese media to take benefit and made the people miserable. After the independence of Indonesia on July 12, 1947, cooperative movement in Indonesia held the first cooperative congress in Tasikmalaya, West Java, which was initiated by Muhammad Hatta. The congress determined July 12th as a cooperative day and established Central People Cooperative Organization based in Tasikmalaya. The next event was in 1975. National Monument was officially opened. National Monument, or popularly called Monas, is a monument of commemoration, as high as 132 meters, which was built to remember resistance and struggle of Indonesian people to seize independence from colonial government of East Indies. The development of the monument was started on August 17, 1961, led under President Sukarno, and opened for the public on July 12, 1975. The monument was crowned by flames which were smeared by coal to symbolize a burning struggle. The National Monument is located precisely at the center of Medan Merdeka Square, Central Jakarta. It is open every day, except on Monday. And the last event was in 1990, about the beginning of disunification of Soviet Union. On July 12, 1990, Boris Yeltsin decided to resign from Communist Party of Soviet Union. His resignation was catastrophic because after he resigned, the disunification of Soviet Union as a super powerful country began. The beginning of Yeltsin's retreat from the Communist Party was re-election of Mikhail Gorbachev as the leader of the party who directly led the Soviet Union. In the era, the return of Gorbachev's rise was not only opposed by Yeltsin, but criticism also came from the sympathizers of the Communist Party line. The criticism of the Communist Party cadres and Yeltsin to Gorbachev was different. Yeltsin wanted total democracy and transformed the communist system in the Soviet to multi-party system, while headline sympathizers rejected Gorbachev for his poor political and economic policies. Seeing the barrage of attacks, Gorbachev finally chose to resign from office. In December 1991, Gorbachev officially led the presidency. Automatically, shortly after the announcement of his resignation, the official Soviet Union was dissolved. for Soviet collapse, Boris Yeltsin was elected to be president of Russia and ruled from 10 July 1991 to 31st December 1999. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. Today we'll bring a topic about Minister Susi Pujiastuti invites people to increase concern of preserving coral reefs. Indonesian Minister of Marine and Fishery Susi Pujiastuti called the world to increase their concern to preserve coral reefs in global waters, especially young generation. Minister Susi, in a press release from the Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries in Jakarta Sunday night, said that the government can grow awareness of coral reef conservation starting from the young generation. The minister said a simple step that could be done by giving diving glasses to school children so that they can see how beautiful and diverse coral reefs in the sea. The Indonesian government has distributed waterproof glasses in some places such as Sahari Village, East Fakfak District, West Papua, and Bone Baru Village, Banggai Laut Regency, Central Sulawesi. Therefore, the government has cultivated the love, ownership, and awareness on the importance of preserving coral reefs. Minister Susi also invites children and the younger generation to preserve coral reefs. This was conveyed by Minister Susi in the handover ceremony of the Secretariat of International Coral Reef Initiative, ICRI, from France to Indonesia, Australia, and Monaco in Paris, France, on Wednesday, July 4. The main agenda of coral reef management can be utilized by ICRI to touch technical aspects of operations, especially in developing countries that still face the constraints of sustainable management of coral reefs due to the challenges of social and economic dimension. Therefore, the joint chairmanship of the ICRI between Indonesia, Australia, and Monaco agreed on one focus, namely the restoration of coral reef ecosystems through the restoration of coastal communities. During the ICRI meeting held in Paris, Minister Susi said that Indonesia would continue to strengthen cooperation in conservation and management of coral reefs and prevent the impact of climate change by building coral reefs. Indonesia's involvement in International Coral Reef Initiative, ICRI, is the Indonesia's commitment in conservation and sustainable management of coral reefs. Minister Susi also said that Indonesia realized coral reefs are a common heritage for all generations. Therefore, Indonesia wants to ensure the utilization of coral reef ecosystem for fisheries, food security, and human welfare can be done wisely by considering the aspect of sustainability. That was My Indonesia for today's edition.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. The General Election Commission KPU has sought the government's support to improve its information technology ahead of the general election in 2019. The Association of Indonesian Smallholders Sugar Cane Farmers has urged the government to promptly buy sugar from local farmers at 9,700 to 10,500 rupiah per kilogram as they are holding 700,000 tons in stocks. The Bogor Declaration, which was produced at the Trilateral Ulema Muslim Clerics Conference initiated by President Joko Widodo in May 2018 in Bogor, West Java, has received appreciation from the participants of the International Ulema Conference on Peace and Security in Afghanistan, which was opened in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia on Tuesday, July 19. Listener, that was News in Brief, our Era Rival Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuga Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia is the largest archipelagic country in the world. Indonesia, a country with diverse ethnicities, cultures, and languages, where the hospitality of its people becomes a thing to be missed. Are you dreaming of visiting this beautiful land? Come on! Realize your dream by following VOI International Quiz 2018. If you're lucky, you will get a vacation and enjoy the charm of Indonesia for free. You just need to answer the following question. 1. Please mention one or more historic buildings in Bandung that you know. 2. How do you listen to Voice of Indonesia? Streaming or shortwave? And why? 3. What is your favorite program? Send your answer along with your identity, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI Quiz 2018 at voinews.id before July 31st, 2018, 2400 hours UTC. VOI International Quiz 2018, presented by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Curug Mandala. Stay tuned. Listener, Subang is one of the regencies in West Java. The regency has abundant natural potential, which is then developed for tourism by the local government. Subang is broadly divided into three major zones ranging from the sea to the north, the vast plains in the middle, and the cool mountains to the south. These three different zones make Subang has a variety of tourist destinations. From various existing attractions, Subang is known for the hot water objects, namely Ciater and Curug Waterfall. One of the beautiful waterfall tourist destinations in Subang that you must visit when visiting the region is Curug Mandala. Curug Mandala is located in Panaruban Hamlet, Cicadas Village, Sanggala Herang Sub-District, Subang Regency, West Java Province. To reach Curug Mandala, it takes 30 minutes, since the location is quite close from downtown. You can use two-wheel vehicles to get there. When arriving at the entrance gate of the waterfall, you have to pay ticket of 10,000 rupiah per person and 2,000 rupiah for parking. You can go into the forest to get to the waterfall. There are also provided signposts to make it easier for travelers. Curug Mandala has beautiful green scenery. There is an expanse tea plantation. Curug Mandala also has its own uniqueness, where the waterfall has several levels. At the bottom, there is the highest waterfall. Then, over the stream, you will find another shorter waterfall. When viewed from above, these waterfalls shape like a step ladder. Traveling to Curug Mandala, you can enjoy the freshness of the water. Do not forget to capture the natural beauty of Curug Mandala by taking pictures. You can also do camping in this tourism object. The name Curug Mandala was taken from the name of Patih from the kingdom in Pasundan land, namely Patih Mandala. Perhaps he was imprisoned and moksa or dead by disappearing without leaving traces or body to heaven in this place. From the story, then the waterfall called Curug Mandala. The tourism object is officially managed by PT Perkebunan Nusantara 8 in cooperation with Karang Taruna Panaruban Subang. Because it has been officially managed, public facilities are already available quite well in Curug Mandala tourism object, ranging from parking lots, toilets, mosque, as well as some bamboo gardens. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Curug Mandala. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
RRW Service, Voice of Indonesia. Here is my language, informing you the traditional languages of Indonesia. Listener, Indonesia has hundreds of traditional languages spread across the regions. However, not all of them are known well by the people of Indonesia or even foreign people. One of them is Tobati language from Jayapura, Papua. Tobati language origins from the people living around Yotefa Bay or Jayapura Bay in Jayapura City, Papua Province. Currently, the speakers of Tobati language are spread in three districts in Papua Province, namely South Jayapura, Abepura, and Muara Tami. The amount of Tobati speakers in 1984 was 800 and becoming 600 in 1999. However, the number of speakers now is decreasing due to the influence of other languages. Even the speakers of Tobati language are predicted to be only 500 people remaining, which all of them are elderly. Therefore, the Tobati language is categorized as seriously endangered language. The alphabet of Tobati language uses the same ones with Indonesian or Latin. However, there are several characters unavailable in Tobati language, such as X, Q, V, and Z. Another uniqueness of Tobati language is its clause and sentence structure. If Indonesian structure consists of subject, predicate, object, the Tobati language uses subject, object, predicate. Listener, here is several word examples of Tobati language. Engu, engu, in English. I, ntrica, ntrica, in English. They, one, want, in English. Eat, nasre, nasre, in English. Popeda, moghot, moghot, in English. Mount, recau, recau, in English. To hike, rora, rora, in English. Yesterday. Listener, now here are some examples of sentences in Tobati language. Nu nasre want. Nu nasre want. In English. I eat popeda. Rora ntrica mogot recau. Rora ntrica mogot recau. In English. Yesterday, they hiked the mountain. Listener, that was my language for today about Tobati language. Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present nostalgic songs from Nia Daniati. Nia Daniati is a popular female singer in the 1980s. She became popular since she often dedicated the songs composed by Rinto Harahap, an Indonesian top singer and songwriter. One of the songs composed by Rinto Harahap to make her famous among the music lovers was Glass Glass Kaca. Listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Glass Glass Kaca by Nia Daniati.
Mengantarkan
That was the song Glass Glass Kaca composed by Rinto Harahap. The song was released in 1985. Not only the singer talent, Nia also has a good talent of acting. It was proved by being nominated for the Best Actress category in the Indonesian Film Festival in 1980 for her character in the movie Antara Dia dan Aku. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Semalam di Cianjur by Nia Daniati. The song Semalam di Cianjur was a hits and long-lasting song all the time. Many Indonesian musicians have arranged back the song such as Bruri Pesulima and Yuni Syara. They arranged back this legendary song with their own characteristics. The song Semalam di Cianjur was firstly popularized by Alfian Harahap. The song tells the story about Cianjur, a beautiful region in West Java. In this place, the man fell in love with a girl there. Unfortunately, he only one day stopped in Cianjur. Well, listener, to conclude the segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Tak Ingin Seperti Dia and Senja di Batas Kota. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
seperti dia. Ku tak ingin yang kasih pandai berdusta. Ku tak ingin yang teman seperti dia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.